غسلت ثيابكم وقضيت أموركم. الحمد لله. أوكي. طيب. الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وسلم. أسأل الله حسن النية. I ask Allah to grant us the sincere intentions. كنا أمس نذكر أن الذي ينطق بكلمة الردة طائعا وهو يعلم معنى الكلام يخرج من الإسلام بذلك، سواء كان منشرح الصدر أو غير منشرح الصدر. طائع معروف يعني غير مكره، هذا المراد بطائع. If you remember, we were saying yesterday that the one who utters a blasphemous statement while understanding its meaning, of course, intentionally he utters it, blasphemes. Whether he feels delighted about it or not, relaxed about it or not. وإنما أو خلينا نقول لكن هناك حالة واحدة يشترط فيها انشراح الصدر ليحكم على المتلفظ بالردة بكلمة الردة بالكفر. هذه الحالة هي حالة المكره. But there is only one case in which the one who utters a blasphemous statement is not judged to be a blasphemer by that, except if he feels delighted or with uttering this statement, which is when one is threatened to say such a statement. ونعني بالمكره الذي هدد بالقتل ونحوه على النطق بكلمة الردة. We mean by the threatened person the one who was threatened to be killed or the like to utter the blasphemous statement. وكان لا مخلص له من القتل إلا بالنطق بهذه الكلمة. And he was in a situation in which he cannot escape being killed except by uttering this statement. في هذه الحال إذا نطق بكلمة الردة وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان لا يكفر. In this case, if he utters the blasphemous statement while his heart is steadfast to the belief of Islam, he does not blaspheme. أما لو انشرح صدره بالكفر عند النطق بكلمة الكفر هو مكره يقولها تحت التهديد بالقتل لكن عند قولها فرح بها انشرح صدره بالكفر عند ذلك يكفر ولو كان مكرها. Now if he feels delighted when uttering the blasphemous statement, then he blasphemes although he is under the threat of being killed when he mentions it. Because he feels comfortable, relaxed, happy with that blasphemous statement. وإنما قلنا هذا لأن الله تبارك وتعالى يقول في سورة النحل من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله. من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله. معنى الآية من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه فعليهم غضب من الله إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. هذا معنى الآية. ففيها تقديم وتأخير كما قال ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. إذن معنى الآية من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه فعليهم غضب من الله إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. This is the judgment because Allah Ta'ala said in Surah An-Nahl من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله. Which means those who apostate, who become blasphemers after being believers, they will be punished severely by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, except those who were threatened, that is by killing and the like, while their hearts are still firm about the belief. This is how Ibn Abbas interpreted the verse. فدلنا القرآن على أن انشراح الصدر إنما يشترط للحكم بالكفر على من نطق بكلمة الكفر في حالة واحدة فقط، وهي حالة الإكراه. So القرآن tells us that there is only one case in which the one who utters the blasphemous statement is not judged as a blasphemer, except if he feels delighted about that, which is the case of the person threatened by death and the like. Only one case. Al-Quran tells us that there is only one case. فَمَنْ زَعَمْ أَنَّ هُنَاكَ حَالَةً ثَانِيَةً حَالَاتْ أُخْرَى يُشْتَرَطُ فِيهَا انْشِرَاحُ الصَّدْرِ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الْقُرْآنِ. The one who claims that in other cases also it is a condition for one to be judged as a blasphemer, to feel delighted about the blasphemous statement, then such a person would be belying Al-Quran. هذا جعل غير المكره مثل المكره. Such a person is claiming that the one who is not threatened by death has the same judgment as the one who is. لكن القرآن فرق بين الحالين. But Al-Quran did not mention that the judgment is the same. Al-Quran mentioned that there is difference among the judgments of those two cases. فَمَنْ قَالْ لَا كُلُّ الْحَالَاتِ يُشْتَرَطْ فِيهَا ذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الْقُرْآنِ. So the one who says no, in all the cases this is a condition, then he is belying Al-Quran. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حكم حين حكم بالردة على أشخاص عديدين تلفظوا بكلمة الردة من غير أن يكونوا مكرهين، لم يسأل هل هذا الشخص كان شارحا صدره أم لا، أما في حال المكره سأل. فهذا يدل على أن الحكم ليس واحدا، انشراح الصدر شرط في أي حال، في حال المكره. In several cases when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام judged some people that they committed apostasy, whenever their statements were not under the threat of death or the like, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام never asked were these people delighted about those statements or not. He never asked this question. But when Ammar ibn Yasir uttered the blasphemous statement under the threat of death, the Prophet asked him, was he delighted when he said that or not? This is so because being delighted about saying the blasphemous statement is a condition for one to be judged as a blasphemer in one case only, which is the case of the one who is threatened by death or the like, that is. Ammar ibn Yasir جاء إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فقال له يا رسول الله فعلوا بي كذا وكذا فقلت كذا وكذا, أي من الكلام الكفري. فقال له الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام هل كنت شارحا صدرك حين قلت ما قلت؟ قال لا. قال فإن عادوا فعد, إن عادوا إلى مثل ذلك فيجوز لك أن تكرر مثل ذلك الكلام طالما أنت لم تشرح صدرك بهذا الكفر. عمار بن ياسر once came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and told him that the blasphemers threatened him and because of that they actually tortured him and he was threatened to be killed. Under that threat, he uttered a blasphemous statement. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام asked him if he was delighted about it. When he uttered it, he said no. The Prophet said, then if they do that again with you, you are entitled, it is permissible for you to say what you said again, to repeat what you said. This is only in the case of the person who is threatened by death or the like. وهذا الحديث رواه ابن المنذر وغيره. This hadith is narrated by Ibn al-Munzir and others. فكما ترون كلام سيد سابق الذي أخذه من الشوكان صاحب الشوكان الشيعي المشهور بعدة فتاوى شاذة. هذا الكلام مخالف للقرآن، مكذب لحديث الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام، خارق لإجماع الأمة، مخالف لما نص عليه الشافعي وغيره من الأئمة، ولما قرره فقهاء الشافعية والمالكية والحنابلة والحنفية في كتبهم، فلا عبرة به. So as you can see، بل هو خروج من الدين. As you can see what Sayyid Sabiq said, and actually as we said he took it from the book of Ash-Shawkani, who is not among Ahlul Sunnah and who is famous by several perverted statements, deviated judgments. Such a statement goes against Al-Quran, belies the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, breaches the consensus of the nation. It goes against the explicit statements of Imams like Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i against the practices of all the Muslim judges, all the Imams and Muslim judges since the time of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And after that, the companions, the five righteous caliphs, then the Umayyad caliphs, then the Abbasis, against all of that, against the explicit statements of Imams like Ash-Shafi'i and others, against the explicit statements of the Hanafi scholars, Shafi'i scholars, Maliki scholars, and Hanbali scholars. So such a statement does not have any weight. Moreover, it is blasphemy. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ تَعَالَى. أحد له سؤال إلى هنا. Do you have any question up till here about what we mentioned? عما قلنا دكتور وسام. هلا ام نذكر
من
من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه، هؤلاء الذين كفروا بالله بعد أن كانوا مؤمنين فعليهم غضب من الله. هذا معناه. على عدة، مثل الجارية التي وقعت فيه وغيرها عدد. طيب، قلنا المكره هو المكره بالقتل ونحوه. ما معنى ونحوه؟ ونحوه أي مثل الضرب المؤدي إلى القتل مثلا. When we said the one who is threatened by death and what is similar to that. What do we mean similar to that or like that? We mean by that like if he is threatened to be beaten in a way which will lead to him to die. This would be similar to the threat of killing him. أما التهديد بقطع الإصبع وما شابه فلا يعد إكراها في هذه الحال. أو التهديد بأخذ المال أو التهديد بالحبس أو التهديد بقتل القريب بقتل قريبه هذا لا يعد إكراها في هذه الحال. As for the case if one is threatened by cutting his finger or his toe, cutting off his finger, cutting off his toe, taking his money, putting one in jail, killing one's relative, one's son, one's daughter, etc. This is not considered enough for him to be permissible for him to utter the blasphemous statement without being delighted about it, of course. أمر الإكراه بالنسبة للردة مختلف عن الإكراه بالنسبة للطلاق ونحوه. الطلاق طلاق المكره لا يقع حتى يعد الشخص مطلق مكرها بالنسبة للطلاق. الأمر أوسع مما هو بالنسبة للردة. When one is threatened to utter the blasphemous statement, this differs from the case when one is threatened to divorce his wife. There are several kinds of threats. If one under any of them divorces his wife is not considered divorced. The divorce does not take place. As for the issue of uttering a blasphemous statement, it's only the threat of him being killed or what's similar to that. In jailing him in the case of uttering a blasphemous statement is not considered a threat that makes it permissible for him to say that statement. As in the case of divorce, It is. So it is more the issue of the what is in the case of the divorce, it is less restrictive. نعم بس ما إلنا بحيث يظن أنه لا يفلت من القتل إلا بأن يقول هذه الكلمة ذكرنا. طيب انتبهوا حتى لا يقرأ واحد منكم حتى لا يمر عليه في كتاب من كتب الفقه أو يقول له واحد تعال انظر حالات الإكراه أوسع حالات الإكراه أوسع في أمر الطلاق ونحوه ليس في أمر الردة الأمر يختلف. Be careful. I'm mentioning this so no one among you would read about what is considered إكراه, a threat. Threat that allows him to do some things that are prohibited originally for him to do. So no one would read in a book of fiqh that putting him in jail, taking his money, etc. is considered ikrah. And then he would think that this applies to the issue of apostasy, of uttering a blasphemous statement. It does not. It does not. You have two scales in this. One scale for the blasphemous statements or doings, and another scale for other issues. طيب. قال المؤلف رحمه الله والردة ثلاثة أقسام كما قسمها النووي وغيره من شافعية وحنفية وغيرهم اعتقادات وأفعال وأقوال وكل يتشعب شعبا كثيرة. The author said, An-Nawawi and other scholars of the four schools classified apostasy into three categories. Apostate beliefs, apostate actions, and apostate sayings. Each category of apostasy is divided into many subdivisions. شرح ذلك أنهم قالوا الردة ثلاثة أقسام لأن الكفر إما أن يحصل بالقلب وإما أن يحصل باللسان وإما أن يحصل بالجوارح. فالكفر الذي يحصل بالقلب قسم والذي يحصل باللسان قسم والذي يحصل بالجوارح قسم فتكون الردة ثلاثة أقسام. They said that apostasy is of three categories because the blasphemy either it takes place with one's heart or with one's tongue or with one's organs. And this is why blasphemy, apostasy is divided into three types. The type that takes place with the heart, the type that takes place with the mouth, the type that takes place with the organs, other organs. وكل قسم منها يكفي وحده للخروج من الإسلام ليس شرطا أن ينضم إلى غيره ليحكم على فاعله بالكفر. Every one of those three types is enough alone for the one who commits it to be judged as a blasphemer. Alone. It is not a condition that two of those three types or the three types would come together for one to be judged as apostate. الله تعالى قال في سورة الحجرات إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا أي لم يشكوا والشك محله القلب فدلت هذه الآية على أن من الكفر من الردة ما يكون بالقلب. الله said in Surah Al-Hujurat, إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا, which means the believers are those who believe in Allah and His Prophet and they do not doubt about that. This means that the one who doubts about that is not a believer. Where does the doubt take place? In the heart. So this means that there is a type of blasphemy that occurs in the heart, with the heart. This is one type. وقال الله تعالى يحلفون بالله ما قالوا ولقد قالوا كلمة الكفر وكفروا بعد إسلامهم في سورة التوبة. وهذا يدل على أن من الكفر ما يحصل بإيش؟ باللسان, لأن الله تعالى بيّن أن الحكم عليهم بالكفر إنما هو لأجل إيش؟ لأجل ما قالوه فقط. فدل هذا على أن من الكفر ما يكون باللسان, وهذا هو النوع الثاني من الردة, الردة القولية. In سورة التوبة الله said يحلفون بالله ما قالوا ولقد قالوا كلمة الكفر وكفروا بعد إسلامهم, which means they swear by Allah that they did not utter such statement. Really they did, and by that they are judged as blasphemers after they were treated as Muslims. From this verse, it is clear that one would be judged as a blasphemer only because uttering a blasphemous statement. So this is the second type of blasphemy. It is of apostasy. It is what occurs with the tongue, with the mouth. وقال الله تعالى ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. هذا في سورة فصلت. فدل هذا على أن من الكفر ما يحصل بالجوارح, يعني من آيات الله الشمس الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر خلق من خلق الله. فلا تعبدوا الشمس ولا تعبدوا القمر، لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا تسجدوا للقمر. فدل على أن من الكفر يكون بمجرد أيش؟ بمجرد الفعل بالجوارح كالسجود للشمس والسجود للقمر. هذا هو النوع الثالث من الكفر. إن سورة فصلت الله سد ومن آياته الليل والنهار والشمس والقمر لا تسجدوا للشمس ولا للقمر. Which means among the signs of the oneness and the power of Allah is the night, the day, the sun and the moon. That is, all of those are created. So do not prostrate to the sun and do not prostrate to the moon. From this verse, it is known that there is a kind of apostasy that occurs with the organs, like prostrating to the sun or the moon. It does not involve talking. It does not necessitate a belief in the heart. Just by doing that, this is blasphemy. وهذا التقسيم للردة إلى هذه الأنواع الأربعة مجمع عليه إلى هذه الأنواع الثلاثة مجمع عليه عند علماء المذاهب الأربعة. Dividing blasphemy into those three types, and that every one of them is enough if one does it for one to be judged as a blasphemer, is a case of consensus among the scholars of the four schools. النووي مثلا ذكر ذلك في كتابه المنهاج، وكل شراح هذا الكتاب ذكروه مثلا، وغيره ليس فقط النووي من الشافعية، إنما مثال. An example among the Shafi'i scholars is An-Nawawi in his book Al-Minhaj. And all those Shafi'is who explained this book, this famous book, mentioned the same matter. This is only an example among the Shafi'is. وممن ذكر ذلك من المالكية خليل في مختصره المشهور. Among the Malikis, خليل in his very very famous summary mentioned that. عند المالكية يوجد كتاب مختصر للمبتدئين في تعلم الفقه المالكي يقال له مختصر خليل، مشهور جدا عندهم. في هذا المختصر المسألة مذكورة، هذا التقسيم مذكور، وفي كل شروحه. خليل there is a book which is called the Samawi of Khalil, that the Malik is usually start learning it when one starts to learn the Maliki school. And in this book, those three subdivisions are mentioned. Of course, all those who explained that book mentioned that. Again, this is an example among the Malikis. هذا مثال عند المالكية ليس في هذا الكتاب فقط. وممن ذكر ذلك من الحنفية الشامي صاحب الحاشية المشهورة بحاشية ابن عابدين. In the Hanafi school, there is this very famous book called حاشية ابن عابدين. Sometimes it's called حاشية الشامي. In it, this division is mentioned. ومن الحنابلة البهوتي ذكره وغيره. An example among the Hanbalis is البهوتي among others. وقد ذكرنا قبل أمثلة عن هذه الأنواع الثلاثة مر معنا أثناء الكلام أمثلة عن هذه الأنواع الثلاثة. While we were talking in the previous days, we mentioned sometimes some examples. I think of the three types. مثلا ذكرنا أن من الاعتقادات التي تخرج الشخص من الإسلام أن يعتقد أن العالم أزلي بنوعه وأفراده أو بنوعه فقط. For example, we mentioned that among the blasphemous beliefs is for one to believe that the universe does not have a beginning, whether by kind only or by kind and elements. واعتقاد أن الله يشبه الخلق. Likewise, to believe that Allah resembles the creation. أو أنه يتغير. Or that Allah changes. أو أن مشيئته تتغير. Or that the will of Allah changes. أو أنه تحدث له صفة قائمة بذاته. Or that any of the attributes of the self of Allah is created. واعتقاد اللون في الله. Or to believe that Allah has a color. واعتقاد الحركة في الله. Likewise, to believe that Allah moves. والسكون, or that Allah is in the state of emotion. لأن كل هذا يناقض قول الله عز وجل ليس كمثله شيء. Because all of that contradicts the saying of Allah ليس كمثله شيء. ومن الأفعال الكفرية إلقاء المصحف في الزبالة وهو يعلم أنه المصحف. Among the blasphemous actions is to throw the Mushaf, the book of Quran, in the garbage, while one knows that this is the book of Quran. وَالسُّجُودُ لِلصَّنَمْ, to prostrate to an idol. وَالسُّجُودُ لِلشَّيْطَانِ, to prostrate to the devil. وَالسُّجُودُ لِلنَّارِ, to prostrate to the fire. وَكِتَابَةُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالْبَوْلِ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, or to write the verses of Quran with urine. بَعْضُ النَّاسِ يَقُولُ إِذَا كَانَ الشَّخْصُ مَرِيضًا وَأَرَادَ أَنْ يُشْفَى يَكْتُبُ الْفَاتِحَ بِالْبَوْلِ لِأَجْلِ الشِّفَاءِ. Some people said that if someone is sick and he wants to get cured, let him write Al-Fatiha with urine. He has a kufr. This is blasphemy. في حاشية في في النسخة المطبوعة من حاشية ابن عابدين هذا منقول عن بعض كتب الحنفية, يقول في الكتاب الفلاني مذكور كذا. In the printed copy of حاشية ابن عابدين he copies this blasphemous issue from one of the Hanafi books. مع أنه هو لا يقول ليفعل الشخص ذلك. He doesn't say let one do that. لكن ينقل عن ذلك الكتاب. But he copies from that book. ومع هذا فالظاهر أن هذه العبارة, هذا النقل مدسوس في الحاشية. Despite that, this statement most likely is added to the original book. That is, Ibn Abidin himself did not copy this matter from that book. لأنه هو نفسه في بعض مؤلفاته يقول لأجل الشفاء من الرعاف الذي ينزل منه دم الأنف على الاستمرار, لا يجوز كتابة آية من القرآن بالبول بالدم على جبهة المريض. قال لما؟ لأن الدم نجس, والدم نجاسته أخف من نجاسة البول. إذا كان يمنع بالدم فكيف بالبول؟ Because Ibn Abidin himself, in another book, he states clearly that if one has a certain sickness in his nose, he says it is not permissible to do what some people do when they write a verse from Quran using the blood on the forehead of the sick person. So Ibn Abidin himself says that this is not permissible. He said because the blood is najis. And as you all know, the urine is more najas, filthy than the blood. So most likely this is not his statement, someone added it to that book, in the printed copy of that book. ثُمَّ حَفِيدُهُ الَّذِي كَانَ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ الْكِبَارِ وَكَانَ تَوَلَّى مَنْصِبَ الْإِفْتَاءِ فِي سُورِيَا بَيَّنَ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمَرَ غَيْرُ جَائِزٍ. Moreover, his grandson who was a well-known Hanafi scholar and he became a Mufti in Syria, he made it clear in one of his books that this is not permissible. حفيده هذا كان عالما عاملا تقيا This person, the grandson of Ibn Abidin, his name is Abu Yusuf. He was a scholar who applies the rules of the religion. He was a pious scholar. كان مفتيا ثم أرادوا منه في الدولة شيئا يخالف الشريعة فاستقال. قال أنا لا أفعل واستقال. The government in Syria, they wanted him to do something which is against the rules of the religion, to say something which goes against the rules of the religion. He said, I don't do that. And he resigned. Yes. So he said that this is not permissible. Anyway, whomever says that it is permissible to write Al-Qur'an with the urine is a blasphemer. في أي حال أي إنسان يقول يجوز كتابة المصحف بالبول كافر ولو قال للتداوي. ما وجد دواء إلا هذا أعوذ بالله. وأما الأقوال التي تخرج الشخص من الإسلام فهي كثيرة جدا أكثر من الأفعال وأكثر من الاعتقادات. لأن حديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أكثر خطايا ابن آدم من لسانه. As for the statements that take one out of Islam, those are much more than the beliefs and the actions. Because the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, أكثر خطايا ابن آدم من لسانه, which means most of the sins one does are sins of the tongue. هذا الحديث رواه الطبراني من طريق عبد الله بن مسعود عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بإسناد صحيح. It is narrated by الطبراني from the route of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud from the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام with a sahih chain of narrators. قال المؤلف الآن ينتقل المؤلف رحمه الله إلى ذكر أمثلة عن كل نوع حتى يرسخ هذا الأمر في القلب حتى يفهم تماما يذكر أمثلة عن كل نوع. For this division, for those three types to be well understood, the author moves to mention many examples of each kind. قال المؤلف فمن الأول الشك في الله أو في رسوله أو القرآن أو اليوم الآخر أو الجنة أو النار أو الثواب أو العقاب أو نحو ذلك مما هو مجمع عليه. The author said examples of the first category of apostasy, that is the apostate beliefs, are having the doubt in Allah, His Messenger, the Quran, the Day of Judgment, Paradise, Hell, Reward or Punishment, or having the doubt in similar matters upon which there has been scholarly consensus. Scholarly consensus. شرح ذلك أن هناك أمورا الجاهل والعالم من المسلمين يعلم أن هذه الأمور من الشرع من الدين، there are matters which the scholar and layman person knows that those matters are among the matters of the religion. هذه الأمور يقال عنها معلومة من الدين بالضرورة، يعني لا تخفى لا على عالم ولا على جاهل. Those matters are called known by necessity to be among the matters of the religion. إذا سئل العالم عنها أو الجاهل يجيب فورا من غير استدلال، من غير حاجة إلى استدلال. If the scholar or the layman is asked about any of those matters, he answers immediately without the need of going through a process of deduction, proofs and deduction. هذه الأمور من شك في أمر منها فهو كافر. Those matters, anyone who doubts about one of them blasphemes. مثلا القرآن، as an example القرآن، من شك القرآن حق أم لا كفر. The one who doubts is Al-Quran truthful or not, he blasphemes. مثلا يوم القيامة، من شك هل يكون أم لا يكون كفر. Another example is the Day of Judgment. Anyone who doubts is it going to occur or not, blasphemes. مثلا الجنة، من شك هل هناك في الآخرة، هل يدخل الطائعون الجنة في الآخرة أم لا كفر. For example paradise, the one who doubts do the pious people enter paradise in the hereafter or not blasphemes. مثلا النار، another example hellfire، الذي يشك هل يدخل الكفار النار في الآخرة أم لا كفر. Whoever doubts do the blasphemers enter hellfire in the hereafter or not blasphemes. هذا مثال عن الكفر الاعتقادي. This is an example of the blasphemous beliefs. لكن هنا يحسن لفت الانتباه إلى أمر. But let me draw your attention here to something. هناك أمور لا يعلمها الشخص لا يصل إلى علمها بمجرد التفكير، بمجرد النظر، إنما لابد فيها من النقل، من أن يسمع من غيره حتى يعرفها. مثل هذه الأمور إذا شك فيها حديث عهد بإسلام، إنسان دخل في الإسلام من مدة قريبة ما كان سمع عنها، فسئل عنها فقال لا أدري، يعني ينتظر حتى يعرف ماذا يعتقد المسلمون في هذا الأمر ليعتقده. هذا لا نكفره. مثلا صدق أنه لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله ودخل في الإسلام ولم يسمع بعد عن عذاب القبر، أن المسلمين يعتقدون بعذاب القبر. فسأله سائل هل في القبر عذاب أم لا؟ قال لا أعرف حتى أسأل. لا نكفره، لأن هذا من أين يعرف؟ هذا لا يعرف بمجرد العقل، بمجرد التفكير، بمجرد النظر وحده، إنما يعرفه حين يسمع عنه ممن من المسلمين، وهذا بعد ما سمع. فلا نكفره. أما الذي سمع من المسلمين، الذي نشأ بين المسلمين، عرف أن المسلمين كلهم يعتقدون أن عذاب القبر من الدين، إثبات عذاب القبر من الدين، ثم قال لا أدري عذاب القبر واقع لبعض الناس أم لا، هذا يكفر ولا يقبل منه عذر. أما حديث العهد بالإسلام في هذه المسألة لا يكفر، حكمه يختلف. There are matters among the matters of the religion that one cannot deduce them by just thinking about them. Just going through a certain process of deduction. He cannot be sure about them. He can only be sure about them by hearing from others about them. For example, the torture in the grave. How would one know that there is a torture in the grave for a part of the people, for the blasphemers, for example, except by hearing that from the Muslims? Then he knows that this is believing in that is a part of the religion. Because of that, if someone embraces al-Islam, embraces al-Islam, and then after a short time, before him hearing about such matters, someone asks him, for example, Is there torture in the grave for a part of people? And he thinks, I don't know. Because up till that point, he doesn't hear from anyone about this issue. Such person, we do not judge him as a blasphemer. Because there is no way for him to know about that except by hearing about that from other Muslims, which did not happen to him yet. So in this case, such a person is not judged as a blasphemer, although he doubts about it. This is not the case of someone who is raised among the Muslims, who heard from them, who knows that the Muslims in general, all of them, they believe about the torture in the grave for a part of people. Such person, if he denies or doubts about the torture in the grave, blasphemes. واضح, is this clear? One moment. أما لو شك في وحدانية الله أو قدرة الله أو علم الله أو شبه الله بالخلق أو شك في رسالة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فهذا يكفر ولو كان حديث عهد بإسلام. Now on the other hand, أو شك هل النبي يكون صادقا أم لا, هذا هل النبي يكون عالي الخلق أم سفيها سخيفا, هذا يكفر لأنه هذا يناقض أصل العقيدة ولو كان حديث عهد بإسلام. On the other hand, if one doubts, is Allah attributed with the power over everything or not? Does Allah know about everything or not? Does Allah resemble the creation or not? Is Prophet Muhammad truthful or not? Is the Prophet attributed with the good manners, or is he attributed with meanness and low characters? In such cases, the one who doubts about that blasphemes, even if one is a new Muslim. Even if he embraced Al-Islam recently. Because such a doubt contradicts the basic of the belief. The basic of the belief. One cannot be a believer while he doubts if Allah is one or not. One cannot be a believer when one doubts is Prophet Muhammad is truthful or not. So this contradicts the basics of the belief. This is why even if a new Muslim does that, he becomes a blasphemer. الشك في مثل هذا في مثل الوحدانية وصدق النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يناقض أصل العقيدة. لذلك لو كان حديث عهد بإسلام إذا شك في هذا كفر بلا شك, لأنه لا يكون مؤمنا مع الشك في قدرة الله, لا يكون مؤمنا مع الشك في علم الله، لا يكون مؤمنا مع الشك في وحدانية الله، لا يكون مؤمنا مع الشك في رسالة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. لذلك لو كان حديث عهد بإسلام إذا حصل منه ذلك فقد كفر. What did you want to ask? No, if this is the first thing he hears. He thinks this is what the Muslims say. He doesn't know. Nothing, this is repeating what we said, nothing new. طيب. قال المؤلف رحمه الله: أو اعتقاد قدم العالم وأزليته بجنسه وتركيبه أو بجنسه فقط. The author said, or to believe that the universe has Or the author said, believing the world is eternal by kind and elements, or by kind only. هذا سبق أن تكلمنا فيه. We already talked about this. من أنكر أن العالم أو شيئا منه مخلوق فهو كافر، لأنه جعل لله شريكا في الأزلية. Anyone who doubts about the world being creating or any part of it being created, then this person is a blasphemer. Being created, then this person is blasphemer, because by this he is claiming that something, or doubting that something is eternal with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And by that one blasphemes. We talked about this. وهذه مسألة إجماع بين المسلمين. There is no difference in opinions among the Muslim scholars about this matter. طيب خلونا نقف هنا. Let us stop here for now. والله أعلم. Allah knows best. إن كان أحد له سؤال فليتفضل. If you have any questions, go ahead. هذا ينطبق على الآن يأتي الكلام. إذا شك الشخص في أي صفة من الصفات الثلاث عشرة يكفر. You remember the 13, أليس ذكرنا الصفات الثلاث عشرة أمس؟ الذي يشك في أي صفة من هذه الصفات كافر ولو كان حديث عهد بإسلام، لأنه يناقض أصل الشهادة. Anyone who doubts about anyone among the 13 attributes which we mentioned yesterday, then one blasphemes. Because doubting about that contradicts the basics of the belief. The very basics of the belief. بس before you, can حاج عمر كان بدك تسأل شيء؟
بارك الله فيك. لو توضح لنا وفيك. حال الذي نشأ بين المسلمين وكان جهل شيء من الأمور التي ليست من
ليست كوحدانية الله.
نعم. كما حال عذاب القبر.
إذا لم يسمع بذلك فهذا مثل حديث عاد بإسلام، يحكم عليه بمثل حكمه. If sometimes it happens, rarely, but it happens. If a Muslim is raised among Muslims, but in a way that the people around him, the people that he gets always in contact with, do not talk about the matters of the religion. So he grows up without hearing about the torture of the grave at all. Then someone asks him about that. Then this, although he was raised among Muslims, this has the same judgment as the new Muslim, because he never heard about it before. So the same judgment applies on him. Muhammad Abu Salah.
في عندما نعلم بعض الباكستانيين يزيدون على أركان الإيمان ويقولون والبعث بعد الموت. نقول لهم الإيمان باليوم الآخر هو كذلك إيمان بالبعث بعد الموت. فيزيدون على ذلك. فهل هذا مذكور عند الحنفية؟
هو بس يمكن يقولون لتأكيد الأمر بس لزيادة التأكيد. وإلا الإيمان باليوم الآخر هذا معناه. نعم تفضل. Go ahead, brother.
Sheikh Samir, regarding the three types of apostasy, if referring to actions, if one were to prostrate to a thing without the intention of worshiping it, is this?
We will mention the details about this issue. But let me now say, if something is an idol, something which is worshipped by the blasphemers, just prostrating to it is blasphemy. And I will give more details in the coming class, inshallah. إذا كان هناك شيء الكفار عادتهم أنهم يسجدون له عبادة من سجد له فقد كفر كالسجود للصنم والنار والشمس والقمر. إن شاء الله سنفصل أكثر في الحصص القادمة في هذا الموضوع. تفضل محمد.
عن الإكراه بالقتل ونحوه بالنطق بالألفاظ الكفرية، هل أيضا تنطبق على الإكراه بال الفعل الكفري؟ يعني لو أكره
المكره على الفعل كالمكره على القول،
بارك الله،
نفس الحكم. The same rule. إذا واحد أكره على السجود للصنم كما لو أكره على النطق بالكلمة الكفرية، إن سجد مطمئن القلب بالإيمان لا يكفر وإلا كفر. If one is threatened by death or the like to do an action of blasphemy, it takes the same judgment, it has the same judgment of uttering a statement, which means if he does it while his heart is steadfast to the belief, then he doesn't blaspheme. If he does it while liking it, then he blasphemes. Brother Ali, go ahead.
Sheikh Samir, there's someone, they consider him a prominent American Muslim, and it's on one of his websites. He says that those people who believe that Allah Ta'ala is up in the heavens, that they are excused from kufr because they live in a land away from the Muslims. He mentions this rule, but can you explain this?
Why doesn't he make then an excuse for the Christians who live away from Muslims? If this was a a'udhu billah, just because they say with their tongues la ilaha illallah, then he has to make excuses for the Druze who believe that they say with their tongues la ilaha illallah, but they say Muhammadun Rasulullah, but they believe that when they say Allah, they mean by that a man who lived in Egypt, his name is Al-Hakim. And when they say Muhammad Rasulullah, they mean other than Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So they say that. Does he make an excuse for them also? Or what? What does he say then about someone who says that Allah is in need for us? And he says, La ilaha illallah. Does he consider that an excuse for him? And what does he say about someone who says Allah is in need to eat and sleep and defecate? Does he make an excuse for him? If not, then the same rule applies for those. If yes, then I don't think he will say yes. Then he will be crazy, totally crazy if he says yes. What does a Muslim mean? A Muslim means someone who has the same creed as the Prophet, isn't this? What does he claim, that this was the creed of the Prophet or not? أعوذ بالله تفضلي داوية.
Either the new Muslim or the uninformed Muslim person claiming themselves to be Muslim who...
One moment. Those people, they... All what they want... Do you know about what they care? They care about the perverted politics. This is what they care about. This is why they say those statements. They want politics support from this group and this group. They don't want to get upset, to upset anyone, and they do not seek the reward in the hereafter and to adhere to the rules of the religion. This is why they say what they say. Tfaddali Dariya.
What about the person who newly entered Islam, or the person who claims to be Muslim but isn't well informed, who claims to believe in hellfire and believe in paradise but tries to come up with inventive ways, for instance, you know, hellfire in the mind, paradise in the mind, these kinds of things, or...
What do you think about someone who says, I believe that the Muslims they have to pray 5 times every day, but prayer means to say La ilaha illallah 3 times. What would be such a person?
So
really, he is not believing in prayers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
he does not believe in prayers.
Right, it's not
he disbelieve in the prayers. Just he says the word prayers, and this is the same thing.
And one other example, the person who tries to come up with different numbers, or for instance, for the age of the world, or for instance, the time in which, the time before the humans were created, these kinds of, you know, time issues, where, you know, the length of the Day of Judgment, for instance, that where, you know, we are given specific numbers, specific, you know, the 50,000 year length or something, and some people try to interpret these in different ways, saying, well, you know, time might slow down or speed up, this kind of thing. People who become inventive with...
What does... يعني, I didn't understand
okay.
the question.
Let me try another example. You're familiar with the evolutionists who try to...
With
the evolutionists who try to say that the world is billions of years old.
Okay.
That the world was created billions of years ago.
Okay.
And then the person who calls himself Muslim who tries to reconcile what is known Islamically with those kinds of judgments by saying...
So what do they say?
Well, I've heard the claim that time...
There is one point they can't escape it. Hmm. Either they say the universe has a beginning or not. If they say it does not have a beginning, then khalas, they left out the belief of Islam.
Right.
If they say it has a beginning and Allah created it, then what do they say about us, human beings? Either they say we are the offsprings of Prophet Adam, as Al-Quran says, or they say that we are the offsprings of a certain thing similar to an ape and not Prophet Adam alayhi salam. If they say that we are the offsprings of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, then they are adhering to what Al-Quran said. If they say no, then they are belying Al-Quran. They are not Muslims. If they want to say, If they want to say, well, Al-Quran mentioned that because at that time they wouldn't be familiar with those ideas of evolution, so they are attributing lying to Allah and the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, regardless of the way that they present it. Moreover, no, the Arabs, they were familiar with such ideas. Some among them, they believed that the world didn't have a beginning, and the people, they say, just as the people here say, and this is mentioned in Al-Quran itself. So, and Al-Quran refuted that. So, those are people who really do not believe in Al-Islam. They are attached to a certain social style called Al-Islam. They want, which they call Al-Islam. They don't want to go out of this social life, but they don't want to adhere really as far as the belief. They believe in what those philosophers or whomever say. They are not Muslims, regardless of what they say. Wafiq. Yes, Saddal Fawzi. And since long time, such people existed. And since long time, the Muslim scholars unanimously judged them as blasphemers. This is not something new.
Sheikh Samir, the people who live away from the Muslims and they never heard about from Muslims about a Muslim, or they never heard the call of Islam, but they heard through the media. This media, I mean, like, you know, the always they don't tell the, about the true Muslim. So the media consider us the one who, like, balagatul da'watul Islam.
The ones who?
Media. The media consider.
Did they hear that the Muslims, did they hear that a man called Muhammad appeared and said, I am the messenger of God?
You mean through the media, you mean?
Yes.
Through the media, you know how in this media
this is this is the bottom of it.
Okay.
If they heard that this is the basic call of Islam, then they got it. Even if they hear it from other than Muslims.
Barakallah.
Wafiq. بعض الأشياء بعض العلماء ألحقها بالقتل وبعضهم قال فقط القتل.
بارك الله فيك.
وفيك. بعض الأشياء إن شاء الله بنبقى مفصلها. يس هوزي. بعض العلماء قال العذر للنطق بكلمة الردة مع الذي يعد عذرا للنطق بكلمة الردة مع عدم انشراح الصدر هو الإكراه بالقتل فقط.
Type the new Muslim, he's learning. He hears a case from his teacher, and he like he thinks that this is something like weird, something wacko. Like this, is that enough for that? Like just hearing it from that one person, is that enough for them to be considered known about it?
Does he believe at that point that this is what all the Muslims say, or he believes that this teacher maybe he's wrong?
I don't know.
If he believes that this teacher is wrong, then he would be still considered like a new Muslim in this issue. Whatever is mentioned, كل شيء مذكور في القرآن فهو حق وصدق. Everything which is mentioned in Al-Quran, it is truthful. بغض النظر عما يقوله زيد وعمر, regardless of what this person says or that person says. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام جاءه إنسان يوما قال له أخي عنده انطلقت بطنه إسهال في بطنه, قال له اسقه عسلا. One time a person came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and told him my brother has a like diarrhea. The Prophet told him, let him drink honey, that is honey with water, mixed with water. That person did, هذا الرجل فعل, ثم رجع إلى الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام, قال له ما توقف. He did, he came back, he told him, it didn't stop. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام قال, اسقه عسلا. The Prophet repeated again, give him honey to drink. الرجل فعل ما توقف الإسهال. The man did that and the diarrhea didn't stop. رجع إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ثلاث مرات. Three times he came back to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام telling him that it didn't stop. والنبي يقول اسقي عسلا. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام kept saying to let him drink honey that is mixed with water. في الرابعة قال له صدق الله وكذبت بطن أخيك. In the fourth time the Prophet told him let him drink honey. صدق الله, Allah is truthful. Literally I'm translating. Someone might say Allah is truthful and the stomach is of your brother is a, how do you say it? Literally someone might say a liar. Which means regardless of the situation of the stomach, of what you see about the situation of the stomach of your brother, what Allah said is truth. Which means Allah revealed to me that in this case if he is given honey to drink, this would cure him. So regardless of what you see now, this is the truth. Then, ثم هذا الرجل فعل ما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فشفي أخوه. Then this man kept doing what the Prophet said. He came back, he said, my brother is cured. This is how we should be. بارك الله فيكم. خلونا نقف هنا, خلونا نهلل. لا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله, لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the past, all of you, you know what they used to say about the olive oil, don't you? Don't you remember? What did they use to say about olive oil? ماذا كانوا يقولون في الماضي عن الزيت؟ زيت الزيتون. أليس كانوا يقولون يذمونه؟ النبي قال كلوا الزيت وادهنوا به صلى الله عليه وسلم. سنين بقوا يضحكون على الناس, يكذبون على الناس. ثم من مدة ماذا صاروا يقولون؟ زيت الزيتون مفيد, ليس فيه تلك الأشياء, لا يضر الكوليسترول كما كانوا يقولون. طيب إذن بل يفيد. الآن صاروا يقولون هذا. نحن علينا أن نتمسك بما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بغض النظر عما يقولون. In the past, they used to say, don't eat olive oil. It harms for cholesterol, etc. Now, what do they see? For years, they kept saying that. They claimed they did researches, etc. Yani, they kept, really, they kept doing that until a lot of people started to use the corn oil and the like, so they can sell it. So after that was established, they went back to say, now what do they say? Olive oil is good for the one who has cholesterol. It doesn't harm. Well, the Prophet said, "Kulu zayt wadahinu bihi," which means eat olive oil and wipe yourselves with it. We have to believe in what the Prophet said, regardless of what others say. Because not even because there is not even one scientific fact, really a fact, that contradicts the religion. But whatever the religion says, we believe in that, regardless of what others say. The past year, not the past year, years ago, do you remember when Clinton was in the office? Wasn't there a big issue about smoking with different companies of tobacco? Do you remember that? And those big amounts of money that the companies were fined to pay. Do you remember this case? One day I was listening to the news, and on the news they said that some people in some laboratories, researchers, they discovered certain benefits for smoking, etc. They put it on the news. I heard it once. And then after, when the next a news program came, they put the same news, the same ones, except this one. I never heard it after that. I heard it with my ears. You know why. You know why, how things go. We believe in what the Prophet said, regardless of what others say. Barakallahu fikum.
Bismillah. Today I'm going to start doing the list for the CD. We have a DVDs and we have a CD. CD set and DVD set. DVD, of course, has audio and video. And the CD is only audio and only in MP3. I have an Excel worksheet. So what you can do is come in, fill in your name, fill in all the required columns, pay, and leave. After please spend like the next 15 minutes, fill in your name and your address. And for the audio, they are $20. Inshallah. For the DVDs, they are $70. Set.
Yes. Allah yubarak fikum. We'll continue at 3. Inshallah, sa'at lati nukmil. Barakallahu bikum.
Please, if you want us to ship, the DVDs or CDs, you've got to pay us $5 flat fee for shipping. $5, whether it's DVDs or audio. Thank you very much for your support. Have a nice day. Also, brushing with honey is very beneficial. The latest research showing brushing your teeth with honey is very beneficial for the cavities, for plaque, and all this stuff. Brush your teeth with honey. Okay. Okay. Thank you.